Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just want to thank our worship team. What a vehicle and a gift they gave to us to encounter the presence of God today. Yeah. And Chris playing bass, original from our original team. So good to see you back for this. Yeah, it was great. And our Iranian family. Yeah. Awesome. And for everybody else. <laughs> 19 years old. Do you know almost half the churches that start or get planted end up dying? It just talks about what God has been doing in the life of our church. I talked to some people this past, obviously away for a few weeks, but they said, you guys have survived being mobile for 19 years? They cannot believe it. And I just got to brag about team after team after team after team and how incredible you are. And I mean that with all sincerity. I have no reason to try to butter you up or flatter you. We've done this for too long. I'm just really, really proud of all of you. Now, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I am not naive enough to think that I could just lead regardless. Churches let pastors lead. And you have been a joy to lead. Thank you for allowing the privilege for those of us on staff to work with you and serve alongside of you. I have a message prepared, but my heart's just bursting. In the last 13 days, 12 days, I've been to Hong Kong, Kuala Lumpur, Kathmandu, Pokhara. Those two are in Nepal. Back to Kuala Lumpur. Bandung, Indonesia. Back to Kuala Lumpur. To Penang, Malaysia. Hong Kong and home. I don't want to see another airport as long as I live. Yeah, some of you in the crowd, you know because you travel. And it sucks. But what I got to experience, I had a couple of prayers going on this trip. That God would open my eyes to what He's doing in the world. That I would learn some things that might help Summit. Because not all of the best ideas to how to do church come from some big church in the U.S. And I'm increasingly believing that our answers lie overseas. Because what God is doing in very, very hard countries of the world can instruct us as Canada becomes more and more secular. As I've been praying like crazy about this 19th anniversary, I've just been, Lord, what do you want me to say? And for whatever reason, there was a passage of scripture that I shared with our elders. Glenn included it in the elders' report at the annual meeting, and I just can't get away from Isaiah chapter 55. So I want to walk through this chapter this morning. And I want to encourage your heart, I hope. Because I believe churches have souls, not just individuals. There is a collective soul in this thing called Summit Community. And Summit's soul needs renewal just as much as an individual soul needs renewal. And the best thing that I think that we could do this morning is to bring our hearts to a place where we lay ourselves before God and just call of Him to renew us. Because in a year's time, when we hit year 20, I don't want us to think about, hey, maybe this is a year for renewal. I want us to come to our 20th anniversary with such a vibrant and dynamic community of faith that the soul of Summit is vital. It is engaged with God. It is full with His Spirit. It is bursting with love for people. So my prayer is today that we would deeply engage in the process of being renewed as outlined here in Isaiah 55. If you have a Bible, please turn to it or open up your phone or your tablet, Isaiah chapter 55. And as you do that, I'd like to pray. Oh God, we ask, would you release your Holy Spirit to give clarity in a very mixed up emotional mind this morning? Speak in spite of me and all of the wide range of things that are going on inside me. Renew us. So I trust your Holy Spirit and your word today to do its powerful work in bringing us to places of decision that will get carried out throughout the remaining weeks and months ahead. In Christ's name, amen. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you may have, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. What I'd like to do this morning is just kind of walk through these verses, and then I have some things I'd like to call us to, and then we're going to see some incredible results through this. God invites all of us to experience Him and His promised blessing when He says, come. Four times in this verse, come, 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 come to Him. And buy without money. He gives an invitation that's urgent in its tone, but its scope is very wide and universal for all peoples. And He addresses the deep longings of our souls. Come, all who are thirsty. This is using analogies of thirsting and eating to talk about what's deepest in our souls and how we long for God and purpose and meaning and satisfaction to be free in our soul. And He calls us to come, all who are thirsty, and buy without money. Please do not understand. It is free. You can buy without money, but don't. The cost lies in other areas. It's not with money. Your cost lies in stopping, in slowing down, in taking an attitude of humility, in confessing sin and listening to God. So don't underestimate the cost of stopping, of coming to God. I wish we had time this morning. I'd love you to just think about this. Okay, don't turn your chairs, but just can you speak to the people around you? Just turn to someone and answer this question. What issues hinder you from stopping and coming to God? What hinders you from fully engaging in the life of God? What hinders you from coming to God and stopping and leaning into Him? Is this making sense? I don't know. Is this a bad question? Maybe it's all my mixed up mind this morning. Sometimes it's our self-sufficiency that we don't come to God. Sometimes we get in a rat race and we choose to get in the flow of that rat race or on that treadmill of doing, 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 going, going, going. And so what hinders us is our pace, the choices we've made in how busy we are. Sometimes what causes us to stop or hinders us is actually we don't want to face God or our soul, the state of our soul. So we keep distracted, keep busy, keep the music on, the TV on. We get drawn to our tablets and our phones so that we don't have to stop and be quiet before God. There's a lot of things that keep us from stopping. But God invites us to come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? Do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like all that you do and everything you buy ultimately doesn't really satisfy the ache and the longing in your soul? I mean, we think it will. Advertisers spend billions to make you believe that that's true. Buy this and you will have satisfaction. But there's problems with that. Things deteriorate. There's always something new that comes out that's bigger, better, newer, faster, shinier. And we become dissatisfied. Why do you spend money on what's not bread and labor for that which does not satisfy? Church, if you're going to be renewed, if we as a community are going to be renewed, we must come to grips with what we are actually relying on that brings satisfaction to our soul. And while we may not admit it with our mouths, our actions actually betray us, and we actually do so often trust in other things, in relationships, in materialism, in resources or money. We rely on all kinds of things to bring us satisfaction. And God is calling us to Him. And He says, it doesn't make sense. Why do you spend and work for things that don't satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. This words about eating and drinking and coming to God sound an awful lot like Jesus in John chapter 7, doesn't it? Jesus in John chapter 7 said something fascinating. He said in verses 37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And this he said about the Spirit. We read at the end, we studied Revelation. If you went to the very end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, in verse 17, Jesus says something again. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty, "Come." Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You see, your deepest thirst of your soul is found in relationship with Jesus Christ. Not in simply praying some prayer when you're a kid, but actually living and cultivating the dynamic of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We connect with Him in prayer. John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And He talks about feeding on Him and how it satisfies our souls. So friends, if we want to respond to God's renewing invitation, first of all, we come to God, satisfying our deepest need in Christ. Pastor John Piper says that God is not a thing to be studied. He is a person to be experienced. He is food and life and joy for the soul. Jesus says, "Come." The Father said, "Come, come to Him." And so we come to God and we lay our lives before Him and we believe in Him. Not do we only come to Him and put our trust in Him and establish relationship with Him, where we then move on to actually listen to Him. "Give ear to me," He says in verse 3. Listen. We heard about it in verse 2. He talked about listen. He said it twice. He comes again. Give ear to me. Listen. Why? That you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. He's talking about King David in the Old Testament where God made covenant with him. And what happens when we not just have a relationship, but when we begin to lean in and really listen to God, listen to His Word, listen to His Spirit, when we develop this relationship with Him, what happens to us is that we then enter into the covenant love that was promised to David. That covenant of love was fulfilled in Christ. Now everyone who believes in Christ comes into this covenant that began way back there in the Old Testament. We actually enter the covenant of love with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That which was promised to David, we now actually participate in. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Covenant love. We come to His Word to engage with His voice. Sundar Krishnan talks about, one of my mentors, he talks about, if we come to the Bible, many people read the Bible with the intent of gaining more or new information. But God intends to have us come to His Word to engage in a transforming dialogue with Him through the Word of God. If you just read the Bible for information, he goes on to say that the consequences are truly catastrophic. Because once we've read the Word of God, once we know the stories, then any subsequent reading of the Word of God is inevitably boring. I've heard the story. Check. How many times can we read the creation? How many times can we read David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Christ walking on the water? How many times we even read the story of the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection and maintain any degree of interest, let alone excitement, if you only read it for information? So if we read the Bible at all, it can rapidly degenerate into a mechanical exercise that has long ceased to become transformational if you only read it for information. We listen to God. We listen to Him. Surely you will summon the nations you know not, and the nations you don't know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has endowed you with splendor. Do you see what happens when we live in dynamic relationship with God, when we actually listen to Him, align our lives with Him, and develop this covenantal love relationship with Him? We necessarily become witnesses to Him, and we, through His church, will reach nations. We're seeing some evidence of it here this morning. The people in South America, in Peru, the Rohingya scattered throughout Southeast Asia, the Vietnamese displaced in Cambodia, the Fulani wandering nomadically through Northwest Africa. Yes, God is calling the nations. He will summon nations you don't know, and nations you don't know will come running because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. We listen to God living in covenantal love. Friends, at the end of the day, the presence of God and our love of people, I love the song we sang today, this morning, about God filling our hearts with love for people. That's what is so attractive to people who are broken and lost, is to see the transforming and real love of God through His people. And then he goes into a number of verses that's going to talk to us about how we actually, when we seek God, choosing his superior will. Listen, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to God, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Listen, this seems a little bit out of place in some ways, because he's talking to the church and calling us. He's talking to his people. And what does the wicked have to do here? Ah, and again, my mentor, he took a small group of us to Banff, and we spent a week in Banff as he mentored us in prayer and developing intimacy with God. And Sundar said thus, that the word here for wicked means those who leave God out of the picture. So it speaks to you and to me when we do not wait on God, we don't come to him, we don't listen to him, we don't seek him, when we live life as though he does not exist, when we do our own thing. So let those who leave God out of the picture forsake their ways. Church, forsake that kind of living where you leave God out of the picture, where you don't wait on him, where you don't listen to him, where you don't seek him, and turn to the Lord. He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely or abundantly pardon. This isn't out of place, but it's not also that meant to beat us up. It's actually a wonderful invitation to what we learned 2 weeks ago, and that is about repentance. To turn from doing life in our own way to turning to God's way. And why do we do this? For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. As rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, that is, when the water comes down and actually does its work of nourishing plants and the earth, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth, just like the rain comes and it does its work of nourishing, so my word, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish the purposes, what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is powerful, and it will do its work. That's why we don't do our own thing and live as though he doesn't exist, and we don't wait and seek him and listen to him. For God's people actually do, in their practical everyday, they listen. So we seek, we come to God satisfying our deepest need, we listen to God and live in this covenantal love with him, and we seek God choosing his superior will. For God's ways aren't our ways. His ways are best. His word is true. If we were to build a church, for example, in Nepal, chances are we would have certain ideas about how to do that. But let me tell you a story. There was a young man who was married, had a one-month-old baby. I met this man. And he was climbing up way high in a tree to get some of the fruit to feed some of his livestock. And he fell. He fell, some 20-some-odd feet. And he landed awkwardly on his back, severed his spinal column, and he was a paraplegic. One-month-old baby. During this process, he hears through an international worker about the love of God for him and how he has value and worth. Because in Nepal, the poor crippled people are the lowest of the low. And he comes to God through Christ and begins to seek him and listen to his voice and gains a copy of the scripture and begins to read and bring alignment to his life with what God is teaching. God births in him a passion and gifts him, and then he decides to help other crippled people around him. They would make arrangements. His wife was not crippled, but they would make arrangements when they would see a crippled person to go, and they would gain help to get that person if they could have surgery. And then they would take them to their home and begin to care for them while they went through rehab. Well, this began to grow and grow until finally they decided to rent a small space. And they began to help other people. And word got out as from broader and broader ranges. More people who were crippled or hurt found their way to their place. And they would minister love to them, serve them, and share the love of Jesus Christ with them. They eventually had to rent a bigger space, and they then had some other internationals that helped them. And so people could go and have surgery, come back to the place for rehab for months, and while they did that, they shared the love of God with them. The end result was when we were there, picture a room about half this size, not including this stage, with 400 people jammed wall to wall. The lame, the handicapped, the mentally handicapped, worshiping and singing. And now they're reaching non-handicapped people. So can you imagine, if you were to start a church in that country and have penetrated with the gospel, would you use the lowest of the lows? No. We would think, who's the smartest people we can find in this country who are believers? But my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, said the Lord. And he is using this group of what the culture thinks is misfits and the lowest of the lows to actually begin to build the church in Nepal. There are now 8 such churches throughout the country, and in the 77 districts, they have helped handicapped people in 70 of the 77 regions in that country. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And we see the utter joy in people's hearts and their lives. So, friends, we are invited to come to God to satisfy our deepest needs of our soul, to listen to him and live in this covenantal love that he promised to David. We get the privilege of doing this, to listen to him, not to read his word for information, but to come to it in sort of a transforming dialogue that actually the Spirit of God is speaking to us and through us, just like this passage, where he invites us to come and connect with him and listen to him and be renewed by him, and he would satisfy our deepest needs of our soul, to give us life in our souls, to call upon him. And then we seek him, looking for his will and his ways and trusting that his ways are best. There's 2 blessings that result because of this. The first one is for us. He says in verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thornbush will grow juniper, and instead of the briar, myrtle will grow. This is a story of the kingdom blessings that come. The kingdom blessings that come to the church and to the people of God who lean into him and seek him and listen to him and align their lives with his will and his way. He gives joy and peace. And there's a bigger reason, actually. and that is this. This will be for the Lord's renown, an everlasting sign that will endure forever. We receive kingdom blessings not for us. That's a side benefit. Because it's ultimately about the Lord's fame and His glory, so that God's glory magnifies to the world. This is why we seek Him, listen to Him, come to Him, repent of our own living without Him, and we lean in and follow Him and surrender to His word. Before I went away on this trip, I mentioned a few weeks ago that I entered a time of fasting and praying for 17 days. And I was seeking God for things in my own heart and life. And I was seeking God's will for our church. I wanted to prioritize time with God to seek Him and to listen to Him, to bring alignment with my life in greater, deeper, more subtle ways. And the Lord gave me some very clear direction in my personal life. He gave me some direction for our church, personnel, and He did deep soul work inside my heart. No, I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to be. I'm still going to mess up. But what God began to do there through that season, I can already sense that that was very real in my heart, and I just want to keep cultivating that. And He may be bringing us an exciting new opportunity as a result of all of this. For God has things and plans that are not our plans. He longs us for us to listen. So on our 19th anniversary, why do we pursue Him? Why do we do this? So that our souls will be free. That our church would be free from our bondage, from our emotional immaturity, from our relational division. Because as Summit's soul keepers, that's all of us, we must imagine what we could be like if collectively our soul was healthy and vital, increasingly. Can you imagine that every one of us sitting here didn't study God as a thing, but actually began to experience Him in our personal walk more deeply, more consistently, where we actually began to hear His voice through the Word, yes, through His Spirit, yes, through other people, yes. We actually hear the voice of God, not audibly, but as He gives us impressions and thoughts and verses and pictures. And as we are set free in our soul from the bondages of our sin and for the emotional hang-ups that just trip us up all the time, where He fills us with His Holy Spirit and empowers us to reflect Jesus more deeply, more thoroughly, more consistently in our character and in our thinking and in our thoughts and in our things that we value, because He, His ways are not our ways, and we begin to reflect that more and more. Can you imagine when you are free? When you're not bound by other people's impressions of you. Can you imagine if you're empowered by His Spirit, where you get to use your spiritual gifts to strengthen His church, and when you are His witness to the nations? Oh, Summit, our souls, God calls our soul to be healthy. You are not disengaged from this conversation. This isn't something that some people, in some position of leadership will take care of. This is all of us. And week by week, we're walking through all of these things that help lead us there. From nourishing our souls, to dealing with the cancers of souls in us, to the healing of the wounds in our souls and the hurts of others. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to sign up for the Set Free Weekend. And you're going to have opportunity to do what the Scripture says. For let those who live as though God was not in the picture to turn from their ways, to repent, and to confess, and let Christ bring freedom in your soul. To wait on God and listening prayer and to spend time in His Word. And then to apply that and allow your life to more consistent alignment with the character and the affections and the thinking of God Himself through Christ. So, church, I just leave us again with these words. Come, come. Buy from God, which costs no money, that He might satisfy your soul. Listen. Listen. Seek. Seek for His presence. Turn from your ways of living without Him and let His Word do its incredible work in you so that you will begin to experience the blessings of the kingdom of God and that God's renown and His fame through your life will reach the nations for Christ. That's what I pray for all of us, that collectively our soul would be renewed so that we're going to come to that 20th anniversary just with a very different soul. So, to that end, let me pray. Our Father in heaven, You are so good. I want to ask that You would forgive each one of us for living as though You weren't in the picture so often. To do so in this room, but then to live throughout the week as though this was a faint memory and You are very far away. Cleanse us of that, O God. And I ask that You'd fill us with Your Holy Spirit. That You would enable us this whole entire week to live as though You were in the picture. That actually You would be the lenses, and Your will and Your ways would be the lenses through which we see all of our life in our family, in our leisure, in our work. I pray that we would have incredible courage to carve out time that is not available to make You a priority at some time during the day, to be still before You, to listen to You and Your Word, to worship and pray. Oh God, give us the courage to do that. And meet us. Help us to do this in faith, not just read information, but to come to You in faith, resting in Your covenantal love. So I pray that for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.